This episode is sponsored by Tunbridge Accountants. Are you a creative entrepreneur looking for financial support? Do you need clarity around your numbers or help with decisions related to your business finances? Do you even know what all the numbers mean? Before I worked with Tunbridge Accountants, I definitely didn't. Wendy and Lawton are not just accountants, they're your partners in navigating the complexities of business finance. They make VAT, corporation tax, cash flow management, all of this really simple, guiding you through all the decisions you need to make, whether that's a company purchase, setting up a new business, whether to register as a business. Wendy and Lawton can give you really honest, practical advice on everything. And by letting them take care of your business finances, it then frees you up to focus on what you do best, creating and selling your products. So thank you again to Tunbridge Accountants for sponsoring this podcast.
Welcome to the Bring Your Product Ideas to Life podcast. Practical advice and inspiration to help you create and sell your own physical products. Here's your host, Vicky Weinberg.
Today, I'm really excited to invite Gemma Waits back to the podcast. Gemma helps mothers to start and grow a business alongside raising a family via startup courses and the All by Mama community. So Gemma was on the podcast back in 2020 talking about starting a business. Today, she's back to talk with us about seeking investment. Gemma has raised a lot of money over the years, although she tells me that compared to some investments, it really is a drop in the ocean for All by Mama. And she's going to talk about the reasons that she sought investment, how she did it, and importantly, how and when you might want to think about seeking investment for your business, and if you do, how to go about it, what you need to do, what you need to be aware of, and all of the details. I say all of the details, obviously it's a huge topic, but I would say this is a really good starting point. We kind of aimed for this episode to be a really good introduction into investment, who might consider it, why you might consider it, what you might use it for, and just the basics to get you thinking about it. And then of course, if you need any further information, you can do some investigation from there, or you can also contact Gemma via the show notes for this episode, as she's got loads of knowledge to share. And as I say, I only went into this really lightly on this episode because it is a huge topic. I think you're going to find it really interesting, but hopefully perhaps inspiring as well. And with all that said, I would love to introduce you to Gemma. Always dread that I might forget. I haven't never forgot to do that, but I always dread that I might forget. So I am going to, again, I'm going to record the introduction separately. I think I can't remember what I did last time, but I've started doing them after we've spoken, so I can kind of pull on what we've actually spoken about. So if you're good to go, I will ask you to introduce yourself, and obviously you can choose how you want to introduce yourself, because obviously last time we were talking about All by Mama, and now we're talking about something different, although I think All by Mama is still relevant to this audience. So yeah, introduce yourself however you'd like to introduce yourself, and then we'll take it from there if that's okay. So hi. No, that's fine. So hi Gemma, thank you so much for being here.
Hi there, thank you for having me.
So can you start off by giving an introduction to yourself, please?
Yeah, sure. So for those of you that don't know me, my name's Gemma. I am founder of a business called All by Mama. I'm also work in marketing, and I'm a VC scout for Ada Ventures, and I'm a mum of two boys. So there's a few strings to my bow.
Definitely. And today we're going to talk about the investment string on your bow. So we'll get you on to talk about investments, because I know it's something that can be needed either right at the outset of starting your business or to grow your business. But until really, really recently, I knew nothing about investment, about who could seek investment types. In fact, I still know very little about the sort of types of investment available, and that's what you're here for. But I just think there'll be lots of people who have never even considered getting investment for their business, whether it's to start it or grow it. And I would love if you can share all about the world of investments with us. And I know it's a really big topic, so we're literally going to be skimming the surface today, but I think it'll be a really good starting point, if that's okay, Gemma.
Yeah, sure. So shall I share with you kind of what I did and how I learned what I know, and maybe we can go from there?
That would be perfect, thank you.
Okay, so when I had the idea for All by Mama, which is an online marketplace that supports mothers in business, I had a little bit of savings from my full-time job, but I didn't quite have enough to build the tech that I needed to support the marketplace. And I thought, well, I'm going to need to get some money from somewhere. So ended up just researching all of the different ways that I could fund my business, and started off really not knowing anything either at all. And went to some contacts of people that I knew. So it wasn't really within my immediate friendship group, but I kind of thought, who do I know that might know someone? Because I didn't have friends or family money, which is what sometimes people rely on to get their first round. And you'll find in the world of investment, it's a very privileged world, and it's also very it's full of unconscious bias and bias. And women are not genuinely the ones funded. There's some shocking statistics. I think the latest was just around the 2% mark of solo female founders that are receive investment against male founders. So what I did was go, who do I know that might know somebody that might be interested in putting some money into this business? Because right now I can't even really get it off the ground. And that's what I did first. And I did find someone, and I got a little bit of investment initially. They really loved the idea. They knew of me. And obviously I went and met them a few times and talked them through what the plans were. And they invested to help us get the business launched. So after that point, I thought, okay, it was so difficult to build the tech and to get the first year kind of up and running and underway. And I thought, right, I'm going to need to get some more information about how to run a business and how to potentially fund a business. So I joined an accelerator. And at the time, the one I joined was called Entrepreneurial Spark, and it was since acquired by NatWest. So some people might know it as the NatWest accelerator. And I did it just before it turned to be NatWest. And through that process, I learned a little bit about, via the mentors there and via the community there, what other investment options there were, and started to learn and understand about crowdfunding. So for those that don't know, there's two different types of, well, there's lots of different types of crowdfunding, but broadly there's equity crowdfunding or reward crowdfunding. So equity crowdfunding is where people put money into your business and you give them a percentage share of your business. And reward crowdfunding is where people put money into your business, but you reward them with something. So be that the product at a reduced price, or something else, like something promotional or something merchandise. So those are the two kind of main types of crowdfunding that I was looking at with the business. And being a service business, I didn't really have anything that fitted into reward. So that's platforms like Kickstarter. So I was going for equity crowdfunding, which is where I try to raise a little percentage of some money. The people that invested would get a share in the business. So I learned a lot about that, and then decided to give it a go, and raised £75,000 with a platform called Crowdcube. That's one of the equity crowdfunding platforms in the UK. So after that, I kind of thought, right, now I've learned a little bit about crowdfunding and investment. What other ways are there to fund the business? And once you go on an investment kind of trajectory, it's different than if you're either self-funding, obviously, or you're kind of running off the profit that your business is generating. So I was kind of on this investment trajectory and thought, what other ways are there that I can raise money? So I looked at angel investment, and that was essentially finding people. I wouldn't really say in my network. Some people might be able to find people in their network, but I really didn't have anyone in my network other than the people that I'd found via crowdfunding that I could go to. So I thought, right, how do I find a network? And that was a case of attending lots of different events, again, talking to people that I knew slightly, or people that could introduce me to somebody that they knew. And it was a lot of no's and a lot of, please, can you introduce me? A lot of conversations around, would you even be interested in a conversation? And finding people that I could talk to that were high net worth, that might have some money to invest in the business. And I did find three or four angels to invest. And then I did another accelerator And this accelerator was called Ignite. And this accelerator also puts investment into your business as part of the accelerator. Some do, some don't. This one did. So I got some VC funding via that that accelerator, only a very, very small amount. And from that community, I then met some VCs, which are venture capitalists, for anyone that doesn't know, because why would you know if you're not in the world? I met an amazing woman called Chek Warner, who is, she has a fund, she started a fund with a guy called Matt called Ada Ventures. And over time, getting to know Chek and Matt, their vision and their mission is all around supporting underrepresented founders. And I became a scout for them, which means I go out and look for businesses that want to raise VC investment and see if they're appropriate or relevant to Ada Ventures and if they are, make an introduction. So I suppose that's a slight whistle-stop tour of all the ways that I have raised or learned about investment over the past 5 to 6 years.
That's amazing. Thank you. And wow, you've done a lot, Gemma. I hadn't realised. And if you don't mind, and don't tell me if you don't want to answer this, but do you mind giving us an idea of how much money you've raised over that time? Because it looks like you've put in a lot of work.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I mean, it's hard, really hard work. I raised a total of 250,000, and that's spread out over time. Now, in the investment world, that is really nothing. And especially if you were looking at raising VC, you know, that it's not a lot at all. But obviously for me, trying to start my business, it felt like a lot. But it is a hard process. And there's lots of things that I didn't really know at the start that I wish I'd knew that I know now. And I think with investment, it's something that you should learn as much as you can about before you do.
Yes, definitely. So let's talk about a bit of that now. We'll come back to some of the things you wish you'd learned, because I definitely don't want to let that one go, Gemma. Can we just, so you mentioned lots of different ways of finding funding. So you talked about VC and angel investors and crowdfunding. Can you just give us a really quick run through of what all the different options are, just for anyone who missed it when they were listening to your story? Would that be okay?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's loads of different options and for funding your business. So I'll leave that side of the funding to financial professionals. But in terms of what I've done on equity, raising equity investment, so you've got venture capitalists, so VCs. So they will typically invest in something which is highly scalable from, say, 500,000 up. I mean, you can find some of them will invest more, some of them will invest less, but broadly, you're looking at something highly scalable if you're going into a VC. You've then got things, angels. So angels are generally high net worth individuals who want to invest money in businesses. And that's a case of approaching, kind of finding and approaching them, pitching to them. And for them to make an investment, you need to agree on a valuation. So you'll put a valuation to your business and then they'll say yes or no. And then that's broadly how that works in terms of angel investment. And then crowdfunding. So crowdfunding, equity investment, crowdfunding, generally you'll find a platform where you can put your business onto. There'll be lots of kind of due diligence prior to that. And then you will put your business or your pitch onto the platform, and that would be a video, a pitch deck, some key facts, and you'll invite people to come in and invest in your business for a percentage share. And again, that's done on a valuation agreed with you and the crowdfunding platform in advance.
Perfect, thank you for that. And when it comes to angel investors and VC investors, just so I've got this really clear in my head as well, so is what they get from it a percentage of the business? Is that typically how it works?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, let's talk a little bit about when you might be thinking about seeking investment for your business, because, and you spoke about getting some investment to get started. So I guess that's one time when it might be good. But when are other times that people might want to think about getting investments or, and what different things can you use investment for? Because you mentioned you did yours to invest in the tech. What are some of the things that people consider getting investment for?
Yeah, I think that while it massively varies depending on what kind of investment you're getting. So for instance, if you're going for VC investment, you're looking at scale. So scaling your business or getting your business off the ground. If it's something like you said, that's got a high amount of really expensive tech or something like that, that you need to actually up and running before you can scale or acquire customers. If you're looking at friends and family rounds or angels, again, that can be right at the start. So you just actually need some funding to get the business off the ground. That might be to buy stock. It might be to do some tech. It might be marketing. So maybe you've got a proven track record in marketing and you can show your ROI. And you know that if you put X in, you'll get X out. So you want some funding to scale that marketing. Or it might be to bring people on board. So you need some resource or you want some resource to help you scale again and run the business, but you can't do that out of the turnover or the profit rather that the business is generating. So you'll look there. You can look to investment for that. There's so many different reasons. And I think the main thing to do is to have a think about why, like you've just said, you're considering investment. What the output is that you think you're going to get if you do get the investment, what's it going to look like, what are you going to use it for, and what's it going to look like after you've spent it? And just make sure you've spoken to somebody that really understands what it means to give away shares in your business. Obviously a lawyer, obviously you'll speak to your accountant about that, or a lawyer that understands that and how that impacts your business. So I don't know if a lawyer is the right word. I would just recommend that before you take on any investment, you're in a position of slight knowledge or good, yep. Not slight knowledge, of knowledge.
Yes, that definitely makes sense, because it's a big commitment both sides. Obviously you're giving away a share of your business, but the other party or parties are giving away a chunk of their money. What happens? I'm interested. As I was saying, there's a question that's just popped into my head, Gemma. What happens if it sort of goes wrong? What happens if you don't see a return on the money that's been invested, or is that something that's agreed up front? What happens there?
Well, generally, I think you seek investment with the intention of your business scaling, obviously giving a return to your investors. But ultimately, you need to make it clear to anyone that's investing that capital is at risk. And as part of a crowdfunding campaign, you'll see capital at risk underneath any promotional activity, because you have to make sure people realise that. And essentially, you can't guarantee a return. So if it's at the risk of loss, essentially.
Okay, thank you. I just think that's really good to know. So I'm thinking that most people listening will be people who are perhaps looking to either sort of create their first product or maybe bring on some new products, their product range. Let's say that someone in that situation, what kind of things would you need to be thinking about? And I guess what I'm trying to ask is, how would you go about seeking investment? So let's say you've got this brilliant idea for a product, but you need some money behind you to actually get it developed and made. What would you need to do and have in order to sort of go and seek investment? I know from sort of friends and family, it's one thing, but let's say you think, okay, I need to go and find some angel investors or venture capitalists. What would you sort of need to be armed with as such to do that?
I think the first thing is a real clarity in why you need the money and what for. And then I think you also need to make sure that you've looked at options from self-funding. And that doesn't have to be money in the bank. That can be things like loans, or it can be personal debt and stuff and those kind of options. So I think initially you'd have to think to yourself, what are all the ways I could potentially fund this? So there's a really good resource from a company called Swoop. So if you look at that company, they'll go through and tell you, put in what you're trying to do, they'll go through and tell you all the different ways that you can look to get money into your business, and investment's just one of those. So I think that's the first step, deciding what you need and money wise and why you need it and what you think is going to happen when you've got it is really important. And then in terms of, if you decide that raising investment is the right way to go, you'll need to prepare some financial projections. So normally that's 3 years out, and sometimes it's 5 years out, but normally it's 3 years out. In terms of what you think you're going to get from cash flow perspective. So all the things that you're that are going to generate revenue for you, your costs, what your marketing activity will bring in, costs like resource and that kind of thing. So you'll need to have a good cash flow projection. And then you need to create a pitch deck, which will essentially tell somebody who doesn't know anything about your business what your business is. So you'll have a one pager that will introduce what your business is. You'll then include things like your team, what you've achieved to date, what you want the money for, what you think the money will do, anything else notable about the business, like if you've got IP or anything like that, and what you're trying to raise, how much you're trying to raise. So you'll create a pitch deck. And sometimes when you're looking at raising investment, if you're going through a pitch day, so you can apply to pitch to organizations that have pitch days, they'll sometimes ask for what's called an executive summary, which is all the information in your pitch deck in a one pager. Well, not all the information, a summary of the information in your pitch deck on a one pager. And I think it's good to have that anyway, because it will streamline your thinking about what goes into the pitch deck. And then you can create a kind of boiler room of information, which has got your pitch deck, it's got your financials, it's got your exec summary. You can include a list of investors that you're trying to approach. You can include any kind of press that you want to get or any press that you have got. You can include any feedback that you've had previously from investors that have or haven't invested, or any that, if this is your first time, that as you go, people will say yes and no. So you can include that so you know what to change. And I think it's good to have an editable pitch deck, because especially if you're talking, well, to everybody, but if you're speaking to angel investors, they're often going to have different motivations. So having an editable pitch deck will help you with that.
Great. By that, do you mean sort of say that you can pitch, so you can have a deck that maybe aligns with that person's interests or their motivations, for example?
Yeah, so for instance, if you know something about the particular investor, the type of thing that they like to invest in, or if you think this is like an emotional investment, perhaps it's something that they have that has impacted them in their life, or they know about particularly, or if you think that if it's their very data-led investor, and they might want to just see what the numbers are. Like when you're talking to different people, it's quite hard to know sometimes, but sometimes you might know something about those people you're going to be talking to, and therefore you might want to slightly change how you share the same information.
That makes sense. Yeah. And it sounds like you need to know a little bit about who you're talking to anyway, ahead of time.
Yeah.
And how do you do that? So how do you, you know, if I wanted to get investment for something today, how would I go about finding people?
I think that's really hard part of it, and I think this is one of the reasons why investment is so hard if you're not in a world of high net worth, or you don't come from a background of a lot of wealth, because it's all about networks, and there are, you know, opportunities to apply to different kind of organizations where you can pitch your business. But if you know people who have money, it's a lot easier to find an angel investor than if you don't. So if you don't, it's a case of networking. So I think accelerators are a really good place to do that. I mean, that's always been my number one place to find networks and learn about investment, and has been the accelerators that I've done. And I think they're a really good opportunity. And if not, you've got LinkedIn as well. So really use LinkedIn. Look at, you can type in angel investor. So some people put that in their profile. You have to do a little bit of due diligence to look at who you're actually looking at, but you can use LinkedIn. You can also look at businesses that you know have investors and have a look at who their contacts are to get an idea of the kind of investors. I'm not saying steal your competitors' investors, but some investors like to invest in a certain industry. So they might be interested if you're a food and drink brand and you are looking for an investor, you might find some investors come up. If you're looking at other food and drink brands contacts, you might find the same person comes up a few times, and that might be because they're an interested angel investor in that industry. And the other thing is to speak to other founders who've raised investments. Sometimes there'll be people that that they can share, like angels that they've had in their business that they're happy to share. Sometimes it will be appropriate and sometimes it won't be. But just building that network, I think, is another way to do it. But it is hard, and it is about getting the word out, really.
You were mentioning pitch days before, Gemma. Are there sort of websites or networks where people can go to find out information on those?
Yeah, I think the best thing to do, your best friend is Google. And again, Google, and also speaking to other small or business owners that you know have raised investment to see what ones that they've used. So a great one to share is Angel Academy. So I think if anyone's looking, have a look at Angel Academy. Some of the VCs also run days where they will talk to founders that are looking to raise. And you have to apply, and if you get accepted, you'll get like a 15-minute slot, and you can either use that time to pitch, or a great way to use that time if you're at the beginning of a journey is for advice. So you can share a pitch deck, or you can ask, how do I do this? How do I do that? Forward Partners do a great one, and there's lots of others as well that do it. So I've temporarily forgotten what the name is of them. But if you search, you'll find. If you search VC... What would you search? Oh gosh, I've forgotten the name. Sorry, I have to tell you. I have to come back and.
Don't worry. That's fine. That has led me on to another question, though, which is, when it comes to sort of advice and having opinions on your business, do either VCs or angel investors, in your experience anyway, want to have any kind of input into your business, into decisions you make, or is it simply they're happy to give you the money and let you get on with it? Because obviously, if they have got a share in your business, I'm just wondering how much input they want to have. I know it will vary from person to person, but I'm just wondering if there's a group of investors that tend to be more, want to be more involved than others.
You're right, exactly that. It will vary. So you might find an angel that wants to be involved. And again, that will be part of what you discuss before, you know, you take any investment. And there might be some that don't want to be involved, and it's a financial investment. So it is definitely case by case. With VC, again, it does vary, but they'll tend to have more of an involvement in terms of just making sure you're hitting targets for growth. Whereas angels, it depends on who they are, but often it's less of a how's it going conversation all the time, and it's more supportive. I can't really say that about angel investors as a whole, because it's just your experience.
No, thank you. And with that in mind, do you draw up any sort of contracts when you get investment that sort of states how much involvement someone might have, what's required of them? Is that something you would do at the outset?
Yeah, absolutely. Must have contract. You'll look at putting a contract in place. Depending what type of investment you're raising, you might also make changes to your articles of association, which are something articles in your business. You need to make sure 100% that you've got contracts in place.
Okay, thank you. I thought so. It's always good to clarify. So let's come back to something you mentioned earlier, Gemma. You said that there were lots of things you would have perhaps done differently had you known when you were seeking your first round of investment. What are some of those things, if you don't mind sharing them with us, so that other people can learn from them, please?
I think I wish I knew more than what I knew. So in terms of all the different types of investment, what all the options are, I knew a little bit, but I didn't know what I knew now. And I just think I would have made better decisions if I had. I think also in terms of the financial management of the investment, I just know a lot more than what I knew back then, because I think it's a case of me working with mentors via accelerators and coaches that I've just learned more over time. I'm trying to think if there's anything actually advice which is something which someone can take on board. I think for me, it's purely knowledge.
No, that's great, thank you. Because I think what I'm getting from the entire conversation we've had is it's not something to jump into. So I mean, if you're listening to this and think, oh yeah, this sounds great, it might not necessarily mean that you want to go out tomorrow and look for an investor. It sounds like it's something that you need to do a lot more research on and be absolutely you know, 100% committed that this is the right thing for your business.
I feel like that, yeah.
And are there any downsides to investment that you can think of, or things that people need to sort of have at the back of their minds when they're looking at it?
I mean, again, it depends on what type of investment you're raising. But for instance, if you take crowdfunding, I mean, it took 6 months from me saying, right, I'm going to raise money via crowdfunding to actually getting the money into my bank account. So, and during that time, it really does take you out of day to day. It is very time intensive, and all the way through the process. So you have to consider the time that it will take you to do that. And equally with angel investors, when you might be talking to somebody who's about to buy your product, instead you're talking to an investor. So it does take you out of some of that day-to-day running. So that either doubles your workload, or if you're only got one or two people in your team, or it's just you, then you can't do it all the time. So you're making a decision to spend that time that you might have been spending on marketing activity or sales or something else, talking to investors. So I think that is a real consideration about how much time it takes. And it's not quick. So you also need to think about what I'm going to do between now and when I'm planning to raise. So normally I'd say maybe like a 6 month period you give yourself. I'd like to raise X by, say, 6 months. So yeah, it's something that takes a bit of time. It requires a bit of planning, but yeah, ultimately, it does take your time as the founder out of the business.
Wow, I hadn't even considered the time element, either that it would take or could take so long, or that it would take so much of your time. I've definitely been getting a sense of it as we were talking, and you were talking about the things you had to prepare, and then I guess there's a lot of research, you know, finding people and having conversations, but I hadn't actually considered that, yeah, that could be a full-time job in itself.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't feel like I've talked about all the positives yet too much, but I have met some incredible people via the world of investment, be that other founders, be that investors that haven't invested but have given me some amazing mentoring or advice along the way. And I've got some great non-execs in my business that have just been nothing but totally supportive, and I've learned a lot from them and have been there to kind of guide me at times. That has been some real, real positives for me.
That's brilliant. Thank you. And are there any other positives you want to share? Because you're right, we've been talking a lot about the harsh reality of it, but it would be good to talk about. I mean, obviously for you, I mean, it's fantastic. You had that money to raise. You raised that money that you could invest back into your business. But what have been some of the other positives you've seen, either for you or for others?
I mean, definitely the fact I could actually get launched. So that was a real positive. I think, yeah, sometimes it's a case of you can't do it if you don't have the money, and it's that simple. And if you don't have the money in savings, or you haven't got access to it, then you just can't go any further with your business. So yeah, you know, there's that obvious positive. And I do think if you can work with investors that can act as advisors, that is again a really important benefit, and a great benefit to have as part of your business, someone that's actually got an invested interest in your business and is able to act as a mentor or advisor in that capacity.
Yeah, it does definitely sound like it could be a really good way. I mean, if you're prepared to do all the work, a really good way to give your business a bit of I don't want to say a head start, maybe a kickstart is the best way of phrasing it.
Yeah,
but yeah, you know, to get you a little bit further ahead in terms of financially, and as you say, the knowledge from someone who's perhaps gone ahead, or yeah, I think that sounds really beneficial. I can definitely see the benefits of that. So are there people out there, Gemma, and actually, well, I know that you're one of them, that can help with finding investors? And actually, let's as part of that answer, maybe talk a little bit more about what you're offering at the moment.
Okay. I mean, there are people that you can work with to help you raise investment. I don't offer that, but there are people, advisors, that do offer that. The best communities are ones I find either via accelerators or founder communities that kind of create themselves. And then there are events hosted by various different kind of companies that you can go to for networking, which I think are really beneficial often. Obviously with COVID, there's been quite a lot of change in that, but you will find them. And I think they're great to go and to learn and to listen. So in terms of what I'm trying to do. So I do have a power hour where you can ask me anything about raising investment, and I'll just share with you the knowledge that I have. I think that's helpful for people that don't really know where to start or need some help, what goes in a pitch deck, or can you talk to me a little bit more about crowdfunding, or for that kind of person. And I'm a VC scout for Ada Ventures. So if you have got a business where you're looking to raise a seed round, definitely share your pitch doc with me. You can find me, I'm sure Vicky will link actually in the notes where you can find me. But yeah, I do look at pitch decks as well for people that are looking to raise VC investment. And I'm working on an investment community, which really, with just the kind of ambition of connecting founders that are trying to find out about how to raise and are raising their first rounds and are looking for a supportive place to do that, and a little bit of an info sharing and networking opportunity. So I haven't got that live yet. I'm still working through that, but hopefully I'll be able to offer that soon as well.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. And of course, I will link for a direct link in the show notes so people can contact you if they want to know more about any of this. So thank you so much, Gemma. I've just got a few final questions, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
So one thing I in the back of my mind, and I think it could possibly be, you know, in the back of others as well, is that if you're a tiny, tiny business, let's say it's just you, you're selling one product or a small range of products, you're really, you know, you consider yourself a really small business. Can you still seek investment? Are there people out there who want to invest in small businesses?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say yes. You know, if you know what you want to achieve with the investment, I think ultimately, if you're looking at investment, it means that you want to grow and you want to scale, because that's how your investor will likely see a return. So I think everyone starts small. So if it's that you are small right now and you're one person with one product, but you think, well, actually, I want to grow and scale this, then absolutely, yes. And there's lots of angel investors that get involved at a really early stage in really small businesses like that, that, you know, either have an affinity to the type of business or an emotional connection, or just really can see the opportunity financially. But yes, I think if you're like that, if you're small now, but you've got the ambition to grow and scale, you can absolutely look at seeking investment.
Oh, that's amazing to know. That's really, really reassuring. Thank you. And one final question before we wrap up, Gemma. What are the key things you'd like people to know about investing? What sort of the things would you like people to take away from this?
I think in terms of key things to take away, it would be, one, get some knowledge. Start learning a little bit about it before you make any decisions. The second thing would be really clear on why you need the money and what you're going to spend it on, and what the potential return is for an investor, and how do they get their return. Make sure you've looked at all options for putting funding into your business, not just investment. And consider how you can get additional advice from any investors that you do bring in. So be that as non-execs or be that as advisors and investors, make sure you have a think about how either them or their network might be able to help you.
That's brilliant advice. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing all of this. I appreciate that it is an overview, because it's such a huge topic and I'm sure there's lots more we can cover, but I think that's given us the, you know, just the right amount for people to get started. I will link to your website in the show notes if people want to book a power hour with you, or they've got something they want to discuss, they'll be able to contact you easily. And yeah, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It was lovely to chat to you.
No problem at all. Thank you so much for listening all the way to the end of this episode. If you enjoyed it, please do leave me a review. That really helps other people to find this podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes, and do tell your friends about it too if you think that they also might enjoy it. You can find me at vickyweinberg.com. There you'll find link to all of my social channels. You'll find lots more information, all of the past podcast episodes, and lots of free resources too. So again, that's vickyweinberg.com. Take care, have a good week, and see you next time. Hi, this is just a little note. So if you've enjoyed this episode, or indeed any of the episodes, and you would like to, I don't know, buy me a coffee or something, you can actually now leave tips. So there's a link to how to do this in the show note. Of course, do not feel obliged to do this. This is a free podcast. This will always be a free podcast. But as I say, if you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that via the link in the show notes.